to turn to. John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 30. They said therefore to him, that is to Jesus, "What sign then doest thou, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Jesus therefore said to them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, it is not Moses that has given you the bread out of heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." They said therefore to him, "Lord, ever give to us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst at any time." Now I'd like to turn back to chapter 4 and verse 4. And he, this is Jesus again, must needs pass through Samaria. He comes therefore to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near to the land which Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now a fountain of Jacob's was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with the way he had come, sat just as he was at the fountain. It was about the sixth hour. That would be midday in our time. A woman comes out of Samaria to draw water. Jesus says to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city that they might buy provisions. The Samaritan woman therefore says to him, "How dost thou, being a Jew, ask to drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no intercourse with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman says to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst forever. But the water which I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." The woman says to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus says to her, "Go, call thy husband, and come here." The woman answered him, said, "I have not a husband." Jesus says to her, "Thou hast well said, I have not a husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom now thou hast is not thy husband. This hast thou spoken truly." The woman says to him, "Sir, I see that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where one must worship." Jesus says to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For also the Father seeks such as his worshippers. God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman says to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus says to her, "I who speak to thee am he." And upon this came his disciples, and wondered that he spoke with a woman, yet no one said, "What seekest thou, or why speakest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and says to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ?" They went out of the city and came to him. We'll skip to verse 39. But many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him because of the word of the woman who bore witness, "He told me all things that I had ever done." When therefore the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to abide with them, and he abode there 2 days. And more a great deal believed on account of his word. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer on account of thy saying that we believe, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Saviour of the world." Hunger and thirst are two basic necessities of the human being. Indeed, of any life form. Jesus often uses examples simple examples of things and circumstances around him to illustrate a deeper meaning. And often he takes what is a physical thing to speak about what is spiritual. And in the scriptures that I've read, Jesus takes what is physical and then uses it to speak to our hearts about what is spiritual. And the gospel message to you tonight is much the same. I would like to use what we see around us and experience around us in a physical way to show that these things often speak to our hearts of what is the spiritual need that we have. In this first scripture that I read, we have about hunger. Many of you here will know what I'm speaking about when I say that we've experienced how a newborn babe has that deep physical need of food. Hunger and thirst, two driving needs of a newborn babe, and nothing will satisfy that need apart from the food that the newborn babe requires. And how desperate the babe can get, how demanding a babe can be, and how illustrative that is of a deep physical need. The people speaking to the Lord Jesus wanted to see something, to believe him. These people were, some of them were Jews, some of them were scribes and Pharisees, the religious people of the day. They knew about spiritual needs as well as physical needs. They wanted some physical evidence that Jesus was who he said he was. They wanted a sign that they might see and believe. And they referred back to the prophets of old, Moses, who they spoke of as the one who had given them bread out of heaven to eat, a sign. Jesus pointed out to them that it wasn't Moses that had given them the bread, but it was God. My Father gives you the true bread out of heaven. And Jesus immediately touches on the very heart of the matter. What was the need that was in their heart was to know God and to receive the life that God alone could give. The bread of God is he who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. You know, the people recognized that spiritual need and they said, give us, ever give it to us, this bread. And you know, I think deep down in each one of our hearts there is that deep need of something that we need to be satisfied with. And when we get a glimpse of it, we do feel we want it. They said, Lord, ever give to us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. That was what was so difficult for the people then. And it is so difficult today to recognize that this deep spiritual need that you and I have can only be met in one way. And that is through Jesus himself. The Lord Jesus, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. And he that believes on me shall never thirst at any time. How wonderfully the Lord Jesus combines these physical and spiritual concepts to bring out just how important it is to come to himself. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst at any time. What a dramatic statement that is. These needs, the physical needs that we have, can be met. I don't know whether any of you have read any of the writings of C.S. Lewis. He's an author, written many children's books, and many of his books are stories that have a spiritual significance and a spiritual meaning, sometimes hidden a little bit in the stories, but it's there. Lewis was a very intelligent man, and he began life as an atheist. He didn't believe God. He didn't believe that there was a God. But the things in his life that happened to him, some of these desires and needs that he felt there in his life that he could not get any satisfaction for, led him to believe in God. One of the things that he said was that these desires that we have, like hunger and thirst, said they wouldn't be there if there wasn't a means to satisfy them. And he went on to say further that when you and I have a need in our hearts that can't be met by anything in this world, he said that the probable answer is that we weren't meant for this world, we were meant for another world. And things like that he would use to illustrate to those that he was writing to that there is something outside of us, outside of this world, that we have a craving for. And it led him to believe that there was a God, led him to believe in the existence of God. these people here, I think they believed in the existence of God, but they couldn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he had come down out of heaven. And you know, God deals with that for you and for me. You know, we might understand that deep down in our hearts we have a need for something that we want to be satisfied with. We try everything that is on offer in this world, things that will bring deep down satisfaction, and we find that naturally there is nothing in this world that can satisfy that deep down need. Hunger, which is a good illustration of it, is something that's very deep within us. It has to be satisfied with food. You and I rarely experience that because we have such an abundance of food around us. But if you were to go for a whole day or more without eating, you would begin to feel that deep hunger. If you were to go without water, without drink for a long period of time, you would actually feel that deep down need. And you know, spiritually, we have been created by God in his image, after his likeness. God has breathed into man the breath of life. And we are special creatures in that way. And we have a spiritual need too that is just as deep seated as the hunger and the thirst that is spoken of here. And whatever we do to try and satisfy that need, which really is the need to know God, to understand why we are here for him, what he wants us to do, to have something, to know something of the joy of that relationship that has been lost because of sin. Deep down, that need in our hearts can only be satisfied by coming to God and knowing him. And that can only be done through Jesus. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst at any time. He was speaking about those deep down spiritual needs, hunger and thirsting. Are you hungering after a knowledge of God? Are you thirsting for something in your soul that will spring up into life? The bread of God is he who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. You know, it can't be found in this world. It can only be satisfied by something that is altogether outside of this world, which has its origins in God, comes from God, and is of God. Well, Jesus is that very one who came into this world to satisfy that need that is in your heart. Maybe you don't recognize it. Maybe you don't understand it. But deep down, as you look into your heart, you'll realize that there's a vacuum there if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If you don't know God, if you have no experience in your heart of a knowledge of God, there is that missing that will leave an empty vacuum in your heart, and you will be forever seeking something to replace that vacuum, that deep dissatisfaction in your heart. Well, it can be found. That's the good news in the gospel tonight. The glad tidings presents to you God's answer to your needs. We sang in a hymn, didn't we? When there's no ray of hope, when your heart is despondent, when your path leads in darkness, the hymn writer goes on to say, wilt thou turn e'en now to Jesus, find in him each longing stilled. God invites thee, we beseech thee, why remain with heart unfilled? Well, Jesus has come to reveal the heart of God to you, his heart of love, the fact that he wants you for himself. You're his creature after all, separated at the moment perhaps by sin. Your sins will ever bring distance between you and God. God cannot look upon sin. But God loves you, even though you're a sinner. And he's demonstrated that love by sending his only Son, Jesus, into the world to take away the sin of the world, to undo the works of Satan that began all those years ago in the Garden of Eden, when Eve was deceived by Satan, when Adam was also deceived, and when they both ate of the forbidden fruit, sin came in. Through that act of disobedience, they were told what they could not eat, and yet Satan persuaded them to do it. Sin has passed, and death as a result has passed upon the whole human race. Distance has come in between man and God. Remember, Adam hid himself. He immediately knew that he could not be in the presence of God. He was frightened. He hid himself. And that is the story of man ever since, attempting to be away from God, hide himself from God. But God is not happy with that situation, does not want you to remain like that in your sins, but he wants you to come to him. Accept Jesus, the one who is provided as the Saviour of the world, and have your sins forgiven as you recognize that Jesus has borne them in his body on the cross at Calvary. A hymn that we sang, once on Calvary's cross he suffered, once he died and bled for thee, made atonement for the judgment. You know, unbelieving, you are free. It's believing on Jesus. He that believes on me shall never thirst at any time. Wonderful message that Jesus brought to those that he came into contact with. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. You know that once you know the joy of your sins being forgiven, the distance being removed so that you can be near to God and know God, that's when those deep-seated spiritual needs that you and I have start to become satisfied, start to be filled, no longer hunger, no longer thirst anymore. So I wanted to read of this woman in John 4 because she's a wonderful practical example of one who had those deep-seated needs. Her life is a picture of a woman that was unsatisfied in many ways. What a sad life she had led. She was already had been married 5 times, had 5 husbands. We don't know what had happened, why she left them, whether they died or whether she separated from them. We do not know. But the picture is there of one who was an outcast of society in many ways because she'd not found a happy marriage. And she'd taken up with a man who was not her husband and was despised by society as a result. And there in the middle of the day, not a normal hour to go to the well to draw water, she was found there so that she could be alone and not be ridiculed by the people around her. But she finds Jesus, who made a special journey to be there at that very well, at the fountain, so that he could meet this woman. And God will do that for just you. He will make a special journey and a special appeal to you tonight. And I'd like you to receive the message to yourself tonight. And to myself too, God's word comes to each one of us individually. Not to think about someone else, but just to think about God's word to you, God's word to me tonight. And so this woman, she found Jesus. And he asked her for water. This took the woman by surprise. We understand, many here will know the detail of this story and understand the background to it. The Samaritans and the Jews did not get on together. They were two parts of society that never mixed. Things had happened historically that caused a separation. They thought different things. Their interpretation of the religion was quite different. The things that they believed in. And they did not want to have anything to do with each other. But Jesus showed none of those feelings in society at the time. He was the same towards all. He was no respecter of persons. He would speak to a tax gatherer just as much as to a Pharisee. He would deal with the sinner. He would deal with those that appeared righteous and those that appeared to be unrighteous in just the same way. And the Lord would never differentiate between one person and another. And the gospel message goes out to people tonight in just the same way. It's not particularly aimed at one group of society or another. And it does not exclude one group of society or another. And God's word tonight is to all, to whosoever will receive the word. And so this woman was most surprised that Jesus, who was a Jew, would speak to her. And then for the things that he said to her, would no doubt further give her surprise. She says to him, are you greater than our father Jacob? If only she knew who he was. She was going to learn as this conversation developed. But Jesus, you know, he has exactly the same message to her as we read of a little later on in this gospel. And he takes this example of her thirst, her need for water every day, to expose within her that she had a spiritual need and that he was able to meet that need for her. He says, I have water. The water which I shall give shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. You know, just the same message is in relation to the bread of life. That Jesus would give is related to what is connected with life. And here he spells it out as eternal life. And you know, the woman's response is just the same as she starts to realize that he's speaking about a deep-seated spiritual need. She says, give me this water that I might not thirst nor come here to draw. And I think that would be the sober answer of everyone here. As you look deep inside your heart and recognize your need that there is something that you need to be fulfilled and to be satisfied to get back that relationship with God that perhaps you never even knew was missing. You see, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again, Jesus said. But whosoever drinks of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst forever. What a message! Forever! Never thirst forever! Never hunger forevermore! And that just shows the permanent nature of the change that comes about when Jesus heals your heart, satisfies your heart, fills that need. And it's all to do with your sins being removed and completely taken away. What a cleansing power there is in the Saviour's blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, the blood that cleanses from every sin. The scripture in the Old Testament makes it very clear, without the shedding of blood there can be no remission of sins. And Jesus has fulfilled many of those Old Testament scriptures in dying there upon the cross. We're reminded of it this afternoon. His pathway that led to the cross, fulfilling of those Old Testament scriptures, the prophecies of old. God had in mind that Jesus would die upon the cross long before the world was created. The blood of Jesus was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world. God was not taken by surprise when Adam and Eve sinned. Indeed, you might say that in the wonderful grace of God, he had this plan of salvation so that he might reveal his heart of love to you and to me, that we might have a relationship with him which is even greater than what Adam and Eve experienced in those early days in the Garden of Eden. God wants us for himself, and he is seeking such as you and me as his worshippers. And that's what this woman came to understand as the Lord Jesus continued to speak with her. He revealed to her about her background so that she recognized that there was something different about him. She says, "Art thou a prophet?" I think as he went on to unfold to her what was in his father's heart, and I think she knew he was speaking about God. He goes on to say, "God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." So Jesus revealed to her that God, the Father, wanted something different. Not a ritual, not a religious ceremony that was dictated by scribes and Pharisees, but wanted something that came from the heart, something that was motivated by what was inward, worship in spirit and in truth. Woman then says, "Well, I do know that there is one coming called Messiah, who is the Christ." And Jesus said to her that, "I am he." You know, that revelation must have just struck her at that moment. It all must have come together. The need that she had, the knowledge that this one in front of her was the Son of God, the one who had been sent, the Messiah that had been foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. She goes away, leaving her water pot. "Come, see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ?" What a revelation it was to her heart. What joy must have filled her heart as she realized that just knowing this person was going to make all the difference to her life. And that's what the gospel message is all about. You coming to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, the one who can deal with the matter of sin, the one who can deal with that distance between you and God, the one who can deal with all that is causing that deep dissatisfaction deep within your heart. You will never remedy that by any other way than coming to Jesus. He alone is the bread of life. He alone can provide this living water that springs up into eternal life. This woman, she came to know it for herself. She went back to the city and told all the men, "Come and see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ?" They were intrigued. They could see the change in this woman. And many of the Samaritans believed on Jesus because of what she'd said and witnessed about him. And they invited him to stay with them for 2 days. And it says many, many more, a great deal more, believed on account of Jesus himself. They actually spoke with him. And he no doubt spoke to them about these needs, about the living water, about the bread of life. And they could say it is no longer on account of the woman saying that we believe, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Saviour of the world. What a revelation they had too. And I just would long that everyone here, every person here, knows the Lord Jesus as their own personal Saviour, Saviour of the world. When we spoke about hunger, when we spoke about thirsting, those two things have their answer in the Lord Jesus. Hunger particularly. If you're hungry, you can feed upon the Lord Jesus. But the thirsting The answer is not only in the Lord Jesus, but it's also in the person that he will send to all who believe upon him. That is the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't make it necessarily clear in this chapter, but a little later on in the Gospel, Jesus stands and cries, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." This he said concerning the Spirit, which they that believed on him were about to receive. For the Spirit was not yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Well, as you read through the Gospels and into Acts, you find that the Spirit came after Jesus had been glorified and had returned to heaven. And that's a wonderful part of the Gospel message, that Jesus died upon the cross, he shed his blood so that your sins might be forgiven. His death was important and was needed for God to be able to come out in blessing. But his resurrection too is important, because he is alive today. He was raised by the glory of the Father, and he's ascended and lives and is seated at the Father's right hand of power. And he's a powerful Saviour, a living Saviour, one who can still today be the living bread. You can still feed upon him. He can still give you this living water through the Spirit that he gives, because he has been glorified. The Spirit has come. All who believe upon him will receive his Spirit, the Spirit of God. And that is the fountain of living water that springs up in you. The Spirit dwells in the believer and is there to provide that experience of eternal life. The knowledge of God, that intimate relationship that you can have with Jesus, is sustained by the Holy Spirit himself. These are the spiritual needs that you may not realize you have, but they are there deep within you. They're not going to be answered by anything in this world. Those needs can only be answered by something which is outside of this world altogether. Comes from God. God himself is only able to satisfy those needs. And he's provided the Lord Jesus, you're the Saviour of the world, for you personally, so that those needs you have can be met. And it's not just for now, it's for eternity too. I love to think of the scriptures that speak of the eternal day. And there's a passage in Revelation, that last book of the Bible, that the Apostle John was given to see many visions. But one of the scriptures that was on my mind in Revelation chapter 6, John is given the vision of those that are in heaven. He's given a picture of those clothed in white robes, those that had come through the tribulation. These are they who come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sits upon the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. They shall not hunger any more, neither shall they thirst any more, nor shall the sun at all fall on them, nor any burning heat. Because the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall shepherd them, and shall lead them to fountains of waters of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's just one of the many pictures that we do have in Scripture of heaven, of what it will be like in the eternal day when we're in the presence of God, in the presence of the Saviour, the Lamb, spoken of here as the Lamb of God, because of the way that he died for us on the cross and shed his blood. But it says, neither they shall not hunger any more, neither shall they thirst any more. Wonderful to think that those very basic needs are carried right through in the scriptures, so that we might understand that God has a plan to satisfy our spiritual needs, that is not just for now, but it's for all eternity. You know that Jesus will be there throughout the eternal day as our shepherd, the chief shepherd. His banner over us is love. I love to think of that scripture that describes a sort of a safety net. Not that we'll really need it in the eternal day, but it's there. The protection of the Lord Jesus will be there throughout the eternal day. And we will know what it is to be always led in those areas where the fountains of the waters of life will spring up. What a wonderful experience it will be. Every desire will be met in that eternal day. There will be no dissatisfaction. There will be no tears, as the scripture has said. What a wonderful picture it paints of a soul that is fully satisfied, can want and ask for nothing more, because everything will be met by the Lord Jesus himself. What a Saviour he is. But those needs you have can be met and enjoyed even now today. May you come to him. May you know something of the heart being filled, of being set free, of being joying, in the power of the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit, joying in that love so precious, which in death he has revealed. Waiting for that shout from heaven, the Lord is coming, maybe soon, maybe today. And only those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb will be caught up to be with Jesus when he comes. Well, may you be amongst them, and may you know the joy of your deep needs being met for his name's sake. Amen.